see. You know, I was thinking when you said that they started a YouTube account for you, I was like, that could have been worse. They could have started a dating profile.
True.
They could have set you up.
Maybe they did and never
found you. And nobody found you.
Yeah. That's no, for sure.
Your friends are looking out. Your friends are looking out for you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of On the Porch with Front Porch Music. I'm producer Jason, coming at you with an intro this week. On the porch this week, we had Zach McPhee. Logan and Jenna were super excited to talk to him ever since he made the artist to watch list for 2024 for Front Porch Music. It was an excellent conversation, despite some technical difficulties on Logan's side, which we will learn to forgive him for. As always, if you like On the Porch with Front Porch Music, please leave a review and share the link with your friends. We rely a lot on good word of mouth and some good reviews, so we really appreciate that. Anyway, that's all from me. Please enjoy the episode, and we will catch you in a couple of weeks.
Well, welcome to the pod, Zach. Welcome to the porch.
Thank you guys for having me.
Of course. We can't just slap you on the artist to watch and then know absolutely nothing else about you.
Well, I appreciate that, and hopefully I can give a little bit more insight on who I am for you guys.
Yeah, please.
For anyone who doesn't know what Jenna's referring to, every year we put together a list of emerging artists that we think that you should be paying attention to for the next year. Well, I mean, for more than just the next year, but we put together an annual list, and Zach made an appearance on our list as an artist to watch for 2024.
And that's because you just kept coming up when I shuffled on Spotify, on Apple. I have them all, so what the heck?
Well, thank you. It's a good problem to have.
It's definitely not a bad one. It's definitely not a bad one. Why don't we don't know much about you, so this is sweet. We often don't get this opportunity. Yeah, it's sweet. So,
well, fire away.
Well, you're the one who's got to fire away.
Okay.
So you have, what we did find about you online is, you know, you started in hockey, sports, went to, and then found your way into music. So why don't you take us back to the beginning? Where did, you know, your upbringing, where you're from, how music kind of came into play?
Sure, 100%. Yeah, I grew up in the Okanagan Valley in BC, so I'm located in Kelowna. Music for me has always been a part of my life. I grew up in like a very musical family. My dad played the guitar. My mom was like a choir singer, and then I have an older brother as well, Alex, and the guitar part kind of got passed down first. My dad passed it to my brother, who then passed it down to me. I played a little bit of piano as well growing up, and then made the shift into guitar. Singing actually started for me. So I actually grew up with a really bad speech impediment. So I had a bad stutter. Yeah. And like all throughout kind of like elementary school. So grade 4, 5, and 6, I had a really tough time, and I would get like caught on some phrasing, and my speech therapist, who I was working with at the time, one of the tools that he was kind of saying was like to sing your phrases together, because if you do that, you know, you don't get caught as much. So I actually started to like develop kind of the singing technique into like everyday use. So, you know, doing like class presentations for me, like, oh my gosh, it was like anxiety, like I couldn't do it in front of my peers. And then, yeah, kind of just like grew the confidence. And then that kind of translated into my love for storytelling. I always really liked creating kind of short stories throughout like high school. I took a lot of English classes when I went to university. It kind of just like developed naturally into this like passion for songwriting, storytelling. I thought, for me, with like sports, I played hockey growing up. I have found that music and like singing was a really good outlet, like to be able to take away from such a high paced kind of environment that is hockey, and then be able to go home and kind of like sit down and write songs, cover songs. So I kind of started doing that, and then during university, I discovered this beautiful thing called Instagram, which is like taking over everybody's life. And I've like started following and noticed like artists that I really enjoyed were posting cover songs on there. So I started to do that and kind of started to gain some traction. And once I was finished university, I came back and back to Kelowna. And yeah, kind of just like sat on some songs, got like kind of a catalog of songs that I was like proud of. And yeah, January 19th or 20th of last year was my first release in Bring On. And it's kind of just been a whirlwind ever since. I can't believe it's like over a year now. And it's been such a cool journey. Like, it's my biggest passion to date. And yeah, so that's kind of start to finish in a nutshell from me, but yeah.
Interesting. When was the first time you actually played out loud and were like, I'm not a bad singer and I can also play guitar and it all makes sense together?
Yeah, I was like, I was kind of always like a bedroom singer. So I would like, you know, I think a lot of it too was like not having the confidence growing up just due to like my like stutter. Like it like took a lot for me to get in front of people and like be able to play. And it started like kind of organically with my family, like, but you hope, like with my family, you know, I kind of knew they would always, you know, be supportive and be like, oh no, you're good and stuff, you know what I mean? And
so you could have been bad.
And yeah and I yeah, so thankfully, hopefully, that they were correct. And yeah, I think when I was 18 and 19, I played in the Western Hockey League for a team called the Kootenay Ice at the time. And there was a few guys on my team who had like, we had kind of been hanging out, and the one guy had a guitar and he was like, oh, like, do you play blah, blah, blah. And I played with a guy on a team previously who got traded there. So he kind of knew. And he was like, yeah, he plays, like he can play, he can sing, like, so anyway, that's kind of how it happened. And then I didn't know it, but they made a YouTube account for me and they started like filming me playing like cover songs. So like the first song I posted was Wanted by Hunter Hayes, because at the time it was a huge song. Mm-hmm. And that kind of gathered, like they posted it and then I was like, oh, I found out, and then I posted it, and then people started like from back home that never knew that I played or like sang. And I was like 18 at the time. I was getting like texts from people I hadn't talked to in years, and it was just like, we never knew you could sing, like why did you not play? And so yeah, I think like those were like 18-19 was when I first started playing. I kind of did some community events in Cranbrook where that team was located out of. I did like a radio show. So that was kind of the first like big kind of outside of your nucleus of like friends and family who I was playing for.
What was your path? What were you going to do if before you were thinking like music is a career path for me?
Yeah, I like growing up, it was always kind of hockey. Like it was my biggest passion. I like grew up in a hockey family. My dad played, my brother played, so I kind of followed in the footsteps. And yeah, I was kind of blessed to have like the ability to play at a very high level. And then I went to university, was able to get a scholarship out of, you know, playing. And then after that, it was I had some offers to go play in Europe. I had some like sickness in my family that I wanted to move back closer to home. It was kind of time. Like it was just at that crossroad. I was 25 or 6 at the time. And it was just kind of, you know, like, do you go to Europe? And I had been away from home since I was 16 years old, besides like summers playing hockey. So I'm still like working. I actually work for a hockey academy here in Kelowna. So I'm still involved in the sport. Yeah. And it's been super, super like flexible and like good. If I needed to go like play a show on like a Saturday or Sunday, they're very good with me being able to do that. So I'm very grateful to still be able to, you know, participate in like hockey. And then until hopefully, you know, when the music career takes off and you can pay the bills and all of that stuff. But
what do you mean? Yeah, Spotify doesn't pay the bills?
Not yet. Yeah.
Holy.
Yeah.
We've asked this from. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, I like kind of always knew that I like wanted to be involved in hockey. And again, until like I put a song out last year, I didn't really know like what this whole music thing was going to be. Like you put stuff out, like out into the world, and people either like it, they share it, they don't like it. It's not their style. But I was really proud of the music that I like have made, and I think it's resonated well. So, yeah.
Who did you work with on your, I listened to your album probably 4 or 5 times in a row, like on a Friday a few weeks ago. What a Friday vibe, first of all. Who did you work on with that album? I forget.
So, I got introduced to two producers, Dan Botch and Garrett Ward.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so Mark Hedlund, who's become a good friend of mine over the years. I got, hockey is a very small community, which is equal to music being a very small community. But yeah, so Mark introduced me to these two guys, and they've been amazing ever since. So
They're dope. They're really good. They're fun too. We met them at Boots and Hearts a couple years ago.
Oh, they're awesome. Yeah, it was like an instant. As soon as I went in that studio, it was like that connection where you're just like, okay, like these guys have my best interest. But they're very good with like artistic control. Like they step in and they like, you know, push you outside your comfort zone to a point where you're like accepting of it. And for me, like I came from a very singer-songwriter background, like, and Dan especially was like, yeah, I think we should try like this or like this, or we need like more of an up-paced song, just because it was like very singer-songwriting kind of like bass to the song. So but yeah, like they're the best. Like I can't say enough good about those two guys.
Was that your first experience in the studio working with them?
No, I had a couple prior. They were just kind of, they were more so just like getting the feel for it. Mm-hmm. I actually, kind of backtracking, but kind of getting into the studio experience, like when I was playing in Kootenay, it's kind of a great story, but one of the guys on my team, his cousin, I believe, was a local radio DJ in Moose Jaw. And the guy's name on my team is Brock. He sent, you know, the covers to his cousin, who at the time, Aaron Prichett, was doing a cross Canada tour, like promoting his new song. And I guess Aaron heard. So I'm sitting on the bus one day, we're like going to Calgary or somewhere like that, and I get a call from like a random kind of phone, like a 7 and 8 number area code from Vancouver. And I'm thinking, okay, it's probably a guy on the team like pranking me. Like I'm like new to the team. I just got traded, so I don't have everybody's phone numbers. I pick up the phone and he goes, hey, is this Zach? I go, yeah. He goes, hey man, this is Aaron Prichett. And I was like, what? So I like poked my head down like the aisle of the bus looking if there was anybody on their phone. and I actually hung up because I actually didn't believe it. So then he calls me back and he's like, hey man, like this is Aaron, just wanted to like get in touch. And at this time, Brock had come to the like back of the bus and he was like, hey man, by the way, like I think Aaron Prichett could be calling you. Like I sent some stuff to my cousin. And I was just like, oh my God, I feel like
such You're like, that man. Would have been vital information.
I was like, oh my gosh, what have I done? Like, So anyway, we had a good chat, and he's a big hockey fan. Like he does a lot for the charity in Vancouver, and he's just always been a huge hockey support. And yeah, so he just had a good conversation. It was just like, hey, I really enjoy your sound. Like, would love to connect after the season if like I can help in any way. So he brought me down to Vancouver, and a guy that he was working with at the time by the name of Tom McKillop. He kind of introduced me to Tom, and that was my first kind of studio experience. And it was a song that I had written when I was like 16, 17 years old. Just not a good song at all. So we put that one, it was terrible, like so bad. So that one, but that was kind of the start of the experience. And then I worked with a couple other people just in and out, trying to get, you know, the lay of the land and, you know, see what fits and what doesn't. And then once I got back from university, I knew I was kind of more in that mode where music was was like a higher priority for me. So that was when I started taking it seriously, knowing that I wanted to get some stuff out, and then got introduced to Dan and Garrett, and yeah, it's been great ever since.
It's not convenient in a negative way, but a good way, that the music that you've naturally been writing is more singer-songwriter, because that side of country music and Americana is all coming back together, and it's very much so like the Zach Bryans of the world. All of this stuff is climbing the charts, which is really cool, because it just hasn't had a place in country music for songs. So it's almost the perfect opportunity for what you've always done to be what you're putting out now, right? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was like a huge, I don't want to say a huge thing, but I think like I stressed about it as like an artist coming into like the platform world of like releasing music. It was like, oh my gosh, like you have all these, what am I gonna like, what's my genre, what am I gonna like subgenre?
Yeah.
And when I started listening to country music and kind of like falling in love with it, I was like, I don't want to say late to country music, but like I was like 16, 17 when I got like properly introduced to like different country music than you would hear. And it was like, I started to like understand the storytelling of country, not so much that it was just like a honky tonk that people sing, you know, in the South.
Yeah.
And so like getting that exposure and like seeing where like that started, because like at that time period when I was like songwriting and trying to like play or like doing covers, like I was not even touching country music. Because I was like, no, I was more of like the John Mayers, the Damien Rices, like all of like that.
You just didn't want to sing about trucks. It's all good.
Yeah. Like,
what was your gateway country artist?
Gateway artist.
Brooks and Dunn was up there. That was my first.
Dirt roads I know, and which trucks.
Is, what I know, which is, I know, which is crazy. But like, I think I took more of like, I started to understand like the songwriting aspect of it, and not like listening to like what it was kind of trying to talk about.
Yeah.
So, and then from there it was like Eric Church, like getting into the Springsteens and kind of like those songs. Like I think that was the beginning of like the shift. And then yeah, now it's just like the Tyler Childers, the Zach Bryans, and like I still go back to songwriting roots too, like, or sorry, like the singer songwriter like there's an artist called Greg Allen Heisikoff, who I just like absolutely love. Like he'll forever be one of my favorite songwriters, and he's more folk. But yeah, that was kind of the shift. And then yeah, that's kind of seeing like the movement once I started to release movement, or once I started to release my like stuff, it was in a good time of like that blend, like you were saying. So
definitely
I'm kind of glad I waited and like
yeah
away, because
well yeah. If you rushed, you would have been maybe pressured to put out something else or start to sing or write music that wasn't like your vibe, yeah, because it's not what people wanted to hear.
Yeah. And I think like I'm like really grateful for all the like studio experiences and like the people that I had in the studio, just because it's like you learn different things about what you want your sound to be and like what you like, what you, you know, don't attach yourself to. And I think like some of the early stuff, like I had like more of a poppy, like with the 808s and like the background and stuff.
Yep.
And then when I sat with it after, like something was telling me like, this isn't it. Like, this isn't your sound. Excuse me. So yeah, I think everything happens for a reason, and I waited to release music, and I'm really grateful that I did.
Yeah.
So I don't want to harp on the hockey thing, but we've asked this.
But I, but he does.
Harp all you want.
But he does.
Harp all you want.
I'm gonna. We've asked a few artists this because it seems to, and I'm curious to know your thoughts too, because it seems like there's a lot of artists who music was kind of like the after, not afterthought, but the thought after hockey or the thought after sport. What do you think the correlation is between being an athlete and being an artist is?
Oh, man.
Because there's so many artists where they're like, I was a great hockey player, and now I'm just going to be a great, you know, artist. And it's like, yeah, that's not fair.
Yeah, and it's such a good question, and I think you'll probably get a different answer through everybody you, like, ask. For me, and I think Mark said a similar thing, it's it's about how much time you have on your hands. Like, it's just about like finding something to fill that space, because when you're kind of like out of, when you're out of like the high school, so like in junior, you still have to school, right, till you're in grade 12. And then after the fact, like, you have to find something to fill your day with. And like a lot of guys, you know, do video games, or like they find, or they'll end up taking like college classes early, like as they're still playing. And for me, like, that was a huge kind of phase for me to stay with the music part. I think I had an early enough introduction that it was already kind of in my DNA to like want to just like do it organically without sport attached to it. But yeah, I think it's time. I think it's, I mean, there's always music playing in the dressing room. I don't really know, to be honest. Like, it's a tough question to answer as like a general like thing. But I just think I just really enjoyed having both sides of it, like having the like intense nature of hockey, and when you're there, you're on, and it's go for like, you know, 2 hours, and you're working out, and then it's like done. And then for music, it's like more of a slow process. Like, it doesn't happen like the quick that like hockey is, right? So I think I like needed that outlet, and that was kind of what drew me to like want to continue it. So
it's funny, because like when I remember growing up, it was like you either were artsy or you were sportsy.
Yeah.
And it's funny watching this stuff combine, as like, you don't have to be one or the other. It's just a funny little high school lesson that like none of that stuff matters, you know?
Yeah. I also think like from the after of it, like you were saying, like a lot of, you know, like pre-hockey players will like pick up music, like the Chad Brownlee, like Mark, like myself. I think like you're like in a world with sport that you like are constantly driven to like be the best, or like even internally competitive. I find that with songwriting a lot. Like, I find that like I love Bring On, and then it's like, okay, like now what? And I had Denver in my back pocket, and I knew that was going to be a song. And then it was like, you sit down, and then it's like, what more can I do to like keep evolving? And hockey was the same. It's like, what can I do to get better? Like, to like one up my competitor, or like, you know, bring something new to the table. So that could be a part of it too.
What I'm hearing is you're all just very driven.
We are. Yeah. Stubborn.
Okay, let's stop harping on the hockey. Unless you're excited that the Canucks are doing oddly well this year, we can
let you have that so moment. Yeah, BC fans or listeners, plug your ears. I'm actually not a Canucks fan. Oh. I know. I'm a Detroit fan, which is crazy because I've never been to Detroit, but I grew up I like grew up two doors down. My older brother and one of his best friends. So his best friend's dad was a scout for Detroit, and they would have like Stanley Cup parties that were at their place and stuff. So I got kind of like introduced to love Detroit.
Cool.
Yeah.
I was at the Detroit versus the Leafs game last weekend. Toronto based. I didn't clue in because I bought
a very late start.
Yeah, it was. That's the only reason I made it. My roommate and I were sitting here. We live three blocks from the air. What is it called? Not the Air Canada Center. Anyways, Scotiabank Arena. And tickets popped up for like $120 each. And the Leaf tickets are stupid. And she just looks at me. She's like, we should go. And I was like, yeah, let's go. So we're getting ready. And I was like, who are they playing? And she's like, Detroit. And I was like, cool. Because like, have you seen Dylan Larkin skate? He's the fastest thing I've ever seen on the ice. Anyways.
He flies.
That's what I'm looking at. The hockey game is to my left. Toronto and Winnipeg, who are also doing oddly well this year. So I was like, before we move on from this whole hockey part of your life, we might as well get that out of the way. I'm a sad Leafs fan, as you can tell. It's unfortunate.
It's okay.
Okay, let's talk about the first time you stepped on an actual stage to perform.
Okay.
When was that? Because we've kind of gotten through a lot, and I'm sure eyes on you watching a hockey game, especially in overtime or during a shootout, feels just as scary. So you might have been a little bit more prepared, but maybe you weren't.
So the good is, the good and bad thing is like, I never really played in overtime or was in the shootout. I wasn't that kind of player. So I was not as experienced with the whole eyes on you thing.
Okay.
But, first time I probably stepped on like a proper stage, was at there's a local kind of, talent competition called Denim on the Diamond, or it's an actual kind of festival now, but they had a talent search. I'm not too certain if they did it, but it was the, you know, submit your song and then they pick five artists, public vote go down to three, the three would perform live at the country kind of bar here at the Corral. So that was for me, like I ended up making top three. And that was probably my first like real performance. It was a three song set. And I was like, oh man, like this is interesting when it's you and a guitar. And, you know, there was like a judging panel of like the country station here was like the host of it and stuff. So yeah, that was probably the first time. That was at, I was probably 19, I want to say. So that was probably like my first real stage kind of performance. And then, from there, it's like grown. I've been fortunate enough, like especially in the last year, to play like a kind of bigger shows and stuff. So
I also grew up with like a stutter. Yep. So I'm curious to know, your first time going on stage or whenever you go on stage, is that something that's like just is on your mind all the time of like what is going to happen?
I at the beginning for sure, like 100%, it was like those kind of feelings of like being back in school where like, okay, now there's a crowd of people and it's like, yes, I've been out of speech therapy for like, you know, 15 years now, so hopefully that's still going. But yeah, it's still like I've like always not, I haven't minded public speaking. Like I did a lot of public speaking playing hockey as well. And it was just kind of something like, I think I just like, had to like overcome the fear of like, hey, if you want to do this, I try and tell my story to audiences now. Like I just think it's a good way for them to get to know who like I am too. And like where my singing comes from and like my background, like I didn't just pick up the guitar and started singing at some point one day, but it's been more of a progression for me throughout my whole life, like getting to this point. So I think once like they kind of know that they can, if there is like a little bit of a stutter or something, they like understand it, but that's the beauty of singing too. It's like once you like stop, you know, kind of conversing with the audience, like singing now for me is like almost the comfort zone because I know I'm not gonna have that happen. Like it's almost like an out of sight kind of thing for me.
Yeah, the same thing happened for me too. My parents were it was recommended that they put me in some kind of performance thing.
Yeah.
And like whenever, so they put me in theater, and whenever I'd hit the stage and it was like the stutter was gone. And oddly, also when I speak French, there's no stutter. So that's weird. I don't know what that's about, but yeah, it's funny how the brain works like that.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Okay. Let's talk about this album of music that you put out.
Yeah.
In sure. September, October last year.
September. Yeah.
Yes. So you released a few singles leading up to that, or did you? You released a lot of music last year. Once you started, were you like, what the hell have I got myself into? Or were you like, I want to put more out. I got to do this. I got to, every 8 weeks, I got to put a new song.
It was a little bit of both. Like, it was a lot of like putting it out. And again, like the reaction for me was like unknown. It was like, and with Bring On too, like, I made an like kind of an executive decision and it's a slower paced song. And I was like, okay, this is either going to hit, people are going to really enjoy it and like want it. Whereas compared to like a Whiskey Burns, which is more like commercial, I was like, homeboy. But I just felt like that song was the best, like, identifier for who, like, I am as an artist. So if people are listening and, like, what's more to come, that was kind of, like, the framework of a song that I really enjoyed. Yeah, it was, like, a holy crap moment for me, just to be, like, the music was one thing, the feedback was phenomenal, and I'm so grateful for, like, all the support that happened. And then it, like, once it hits, it's like, what's next? Because it's like you're building up to that first kind of release, and, like, gratefully it was successful, but then it was like, oh my gosh, like, I have social media on top of this, which is, like, a huge thing, and I've never been good at it. Like, I will take that to anybody. Like, I will say, like, I haven't been the best at it. Like, now, and then I started to understand, like, okay, the importance of, like, interaction and, like, follow-ups and, like, all of that kind of stuff. So I definitely think I've, like, grown in like that way. And then it was like, okay, when's the next one? How do we set that up? And what's the progression here? Like, do we go back with the same kind of sound? Do we go to, like, a different sound? So then Denver was the follow-up, which is one of my favorite songs that I've put out to date. And that one was written, like, in 2017. So I had that one, like, yeah.
Burning a hole in your pocket?
That one. And funny enough, so Denver and Girl Like You, which Mark put out, that, yep, those songs were written in 3.5 hours. So yeah, like, those two songs were kind of written. Girl Like You was, like, half done. Denver was completely done. So that was, like, a 3.5 hour span.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like a day where it just, like, happens. It just, like, music hits you and you're like, hey, that's an idea. Hey, that's a good chord progression. But yeah, it's been like, the 6 week segments were the plan. So just getting the 6 week kind of segments with the songs. And then the idea was like, okay, like, I think, you know, we've put enough singles out. There's enough, like, of a following to begin with, and let's do an EP. And then, yeah, it kind of just organically grew to that.
What's the weirdest thing you've, this is all, like, new, right? The industry is still pretty.
Yeah.
What's the weirdest thing you didn't really expect coming into the music industry, being an artist, releasing music?
Honestly, it's going to sound kind of funny, but, like, I have totally gapped on, like, album art or, like, song art, because it's like you have the music, and then it's like when you go to upload it, it's like, hey, what's your, like, song image or your song artwork? And I was like, I totally gapped on that. Like, I don't know why I didn't even think that was going to be a thing. Like,
you can't just put it up empty.
Yeah, like, it can't just be, like, a gray screen because if people are going to look at it, it's, and not, like, sense.
Nope. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's been one for sure. Yeah, other than that, I don't really know. Like, I'm kind of, like, I consider myself, like, a music nerd. Like, mm-hmm. I did a lot of, like, studying, and I, like, still do. Like, I kind of love the, like, ins and outs. I love listening to interviews, like, yeah, podcasts. So I think, like, gathering a lot of information, and I actually, when I first started to, like, plan to release music, my parents bought me a book, and it's actually about, like, the business side of it.
Which one?
Oh, it was called, I think it was called, like, The Business of Music, or, like, something like that. It was, okay. It was like almost like a textbook.
I have a big one too. Like, yeah.
Yeah. And it, like, runs through like all of the different things that come with being an artist, and, like, even, like, songwriting side, and, like, uploading, and, like, the splits, and kind of, like, on the back end side, more of, yeah, the, like, admin side of things. That was super nice, because when I went into it and, like, was going through DistroKid, like, releasing stuff, I had kind of, like, in the back of my mind been like, hey, like, I've read this, or I kind of understand what this stuff means. And I know, like, some of my buddies who have released music, they have, like, come to me and be like, hey, like, can I get you to help me with this? Or, like, what do I need to check this box, or, like, this box? So, yeah, I think I was, like, pretty equipped. It's just like the kind of constant keeping up, and like once it starts, you want to keep it going, right? So it's like tough to have a break.
Oh yeah. Where else are you looking for, like, for this? People don't know where to find. People don't know what they don't know, and they don't know where to find it. So where do you, like, what podcasts are you listening to? Where are you finding all of this?
Yeah, I think it, a lot of YouTube, like a lot of Apple Music podcasts. There's an amazing podcast called Song Exploder.
Oh, okay.
And it actually, so the host, he's had like big artists. Like he had Fleetwood Mac, he's had Noah Kahan, he's had the Lumineers.
Foo Fighters?
You know what? He might have had Dave Grohl. Yeah.
Literally, yeah, in December.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just looked
it
up.
So,
what the?
So he goes through and the artist picks a song, excuse me, and they'll like break it down how they got there. So like step by step, excuse me, sorry. And the one with the Lumineers, it was really interesting. There's like this kick in the floorboard. And I think it's on Ophelia. He was kind of asking like how they got this like drum kick sound. And it was actually just a floorboard in the studio that they found, and they were just stomping on it.
What?
So yeah. So it's, that one's super cool too.
What?
Other than that, I think it's just like the general, obviously like your guys' podcast, and like trying to find, like, I know George does one with like Apple, like about up and coming, like Spotify has some good ones, just anywhere to find like just conversations. And like, that's, I don't know, for me, that's like the best information retainer, and like figuring out how other people do it too.
Definitely. I think it's good we have this too, because people are afraid to ask, right? They're just,
oh, 100%.
And it's weird because so many people are willing to answer and willing to give you their time and tell you this stuff, and they just are too scared to ask, so they don't know. So it's cool that you can find places, and that you found lots of resources too. It's really cool. So what was that book called again? Can you tell me that?
I think it was called like the 101 Things to Know About Music, or like Music Industry.
Okay,
or
I can find it. Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
If you'd like a really long, boring one, it's important though. It's called Everything You Need to Know About the Music Business.
Is it yellow? Is the color yellow?
Yeah.
That's the one that I had.
Oh, it is? Okay. Holy shit. It's...
That one's a deep dive.
It's tough. It's important, but it's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's a funny one. I read an artist management book. It took me like less than 2 weeks. I was like, that was nothing compared to that book.
Yeah, I actually found, so they did that book on an audiobook. So I was like, I found it on like Audible. So I was listening. I ended up listening to it instead of reading it.
I wish I did that.
Yeah.
I wish I did that. But anyways, there's lots of places to learn this stuff, right? So
100%.
Super important. Yeah. Okay, I don't know if Logan's ever going to return. His power went out. But we also record for about 40 minutes to 45 minutes. So we are getting close to the end. I want to ask one more thing. Your 100%. EP title is called Feels Like Country. Feels Country to Me, sorry?
Yeah.
Is that symbolic for you? Because this is what you've created is what country feels like to you. Is that part of the story?
100%. So Feels Country to Me, the actual song, was a collaboration between me and Mark.
Mm-hmm.
So Mark actually had that song. He kind of brought it to me when he was visiting in the summer, and he played it totally different, and I kind of stripped it down to more of the like Keith Urban, like crazy, like Keith Urban sound. So when I got it, we were like going back and forth, and we were going to do like Remind Me Again was in the mix. We had some other ones too that didn't really have anything really to do directly to like the songs. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, man, that's where my mind went to. It was like, I was like, yeah, country music's in such a great place with like the cross genre. And like, I'm like, this album, this music, everything, like from song one to song seven, like it feels, this is what music to me feels like the writing, the production on it, like the images, and Yeah, I think it just was a natural kind of title that as soon as I said it, I was like, it's perfect. Like, this is what it should be. So that's,
I love that. Okay, tell the people where they can find you on the internet. I know you're regretfully on Instagram, it sounds like.
Yeah. Regretfully, not regretfully, though, because I'm very grateful for all the kind words people have shared. Yeah, Instagram, Zach McPhee Music. TikTok is Zach McPhee Music as well. All of the platforms, Amazon, Spotify, Apple. I actually did a whole live video of like a live EP video that was shot in the Okanagan. So it kind of goes through all of the songs. It's got some really cool imaging. A friend of mine here who's a videographer, a guy by the name of Lucas Collin, he did it. So that was just an added piece that we want to do. So that's on YouTube. That's pretty much it.
Are you planning the next release?
So I have a duet coming out next Friday with a good friend of mine called Sarah Cole. She's local. She's super, super talented. So this one, we went more of a like folk country kind of sound. It's more like, I don't want to say somber sounding, but it's more of a like intimate song as far as like the production. And then after that, I have two or three more in the works. So one will come out in March with them, which I'm super excited for. And then, that's kind of the up and coming, but yeah.
Sweet. Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Sorry we lost Logan. We're so excited.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for all the support and for having me. I really appreciate it.
Of course.
Thanks for listening to another episode of On the Porch with Front Porch Music. We're so lucky to be able to chat with artists and make episodes like this one. If you like the podcast, remember to rate and review us and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. It's the easiest way to support the show. Remember to check out frontporchmusic.ca to keep up with new music releases, exclusive artist interviews, and more. We'll catch you again on the porch in a couple of weeks. On the Porch is hosted by Logan Miller and Jenna Weiser, and produced and edited by Jason Saunders. That's me. Our theme song is written, produced, and performed by Owen Rigney.